Hello, this is Lee Allen. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service. In 1915, Moina Michael conceived of an idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who died serving the nation during war. Remember the poppies? To help re-educate and remind all of us Americans of the true meaning of Memorial Day, the National Moment of Remembrance resolution was passed in December of 2000. It asks that at 3 p.m. local time, all Americans observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing from whatever we do for a moment of silence. And so precisely at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day, this station presents a program the likes of which you've never heard, to remember and respect those who died for our freedom. Hello, this is Lee Allen. Today, Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service. Memorial Day was officially proclaimed on May 5, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, and was first observed on May 30, 1868, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. In 1915, inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, Moina Michael replied with her own poem. We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies the blood of heroes never dies. She then conceived of an idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who died serving the nation during war. She was the first to wear one, and sold poppies to her friends and co-workers with money going to benefit servicemen in need. Traditional observance of Memorial Day has diminished over the years. Many Americans nowadays have forgotten the meaning and traditions of Memorial Day. At many cemeteries, the graves of the fallen are increasingly ignored, neglected. Most people no longer remember the proper flag etiquette for the day. While there are towns and cities that still hold Memorial Day parades, many have not held a parade in decades. Some people think the day is for honoring any and all dead, and not just those fallen in service to our country. There are a few notable exceptions, though. Since the late 50s, on the Thursday before Memorial Day, the 1,200 soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry place a small American flag at each of more than 260,000 gravestones at Arlington Cemetery. They then patrol 24 hours a day during the weekend to ensure that each flag remains standing. In 1951, the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts of St. Louis began placing flags on 150,000 graves at Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery as an annual good turn, a practice that continues to this day. More recently, the Scouts and Girl Scouts place a candle at each of approximately 15,000 gravesites of soldiers buried at Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park on Mary's Heights. And in 2004, Washington, D.C., held its first Memorial Day parade in over 60 years. Today, instead of the usual, we take this hour to remember. Memorial Day weekend was coming up, and the nursery school teacher took the opportunity to tell her class about patriotism. "We live in a great country," she said. "One of the things we should be happy about is that in this country we are all free." One little boy came walking up to her from the back of the room. He stood there with his hands on his hips and said, "I'm not free. I'm for."
Senators and representatives, I have the distinguished honor of presenting the President of the United States.
Thank you. President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
Atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
I have directed the armed forces to prepare for any eventualities. It shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States, requiring a full retaliatory response upon the Soviet Union.
All right, sir. Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
Americans. Men and women have always yearned to breathe free. Independence in America was first enacted by simple declaration, and then won through burden, hardship, and the heroic efforts of new American forces armed to defeat the oppressor.
16 companies of British redcoats set out from Boston last night to destroy arms and supplies on a farm in Concord. The Americans, however, were not surprised by the onslaught. New York City is under attack. Although the British have in their fleet some 30 men of war and 25,000 men, the Americans, led by General Washington, have established a strong position on Brooklyn Heights.
King George III has demanded that colonial troops lay down their arms. Surrounding Boston, the Americans responded by burning copies of the King's speech and raising their new flag. It has 13 alternating red and white stripes and a blue field in the upper left-hand corner.
The United States was born in revolution. It only became war when reason, negotiation, and a verbal plea for freedom was refused.
The Dartmouth, the Eleanor, and the Beaver sit quietly. The three ships and the cargo they carry are about to make indelible history, a night never to be forgotten. Now they are ready. Their faces are covered with blankets. Underneath, they are painted with bronze coloring. Each is armed with a hatchet, an axe, or loaded pistol.
Francis Roach, before we do this, we give you the chance to take your ship and go home.
I cannot. It is wholly impractical. I would be ruined.
Then we must attack.
The angry patriots could hold themselves back no longer. Out of the Old South Meeting House, they came running, 1,000 masked men, shouting war cries. First Milk Street, then Hutchinson Street, Griffin's Wharf, then on to the ships.
The cargo! The cargo! Find the cargo!
The raiders were led by John Hancock and supported by future President John Adams, who said, "The people should never rise without doing something to be remembered." This is so bold and lasting. It is an epic in American history. British sailors on the three ships suffered not a scratch. The ships were not damaged. The patriots were protesting attacks on the cargo, so they destroyed it. They angrily dumped all of the tea into the harbor. When they finished their Boston Tea Party, they quietly stepped off the ships and went home.
After the Revolution, a violent struggle often considered a prelude to other people's wars, the United States endured a bitter civil war. Listen as General Norman Schwarzkopf reminds us of the words of Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg.
he said, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
Since then, the United States has participated in 7 international wars, and 3 years after it began, entered World War I, led by Commander-in-Chief of the American Expeditionary Forces, 56-year-old General John J. Blackjack Pershing.
3,000 miles from home, an American army is fighting for you. Everything you hold worthwhile is at stake. Only the hardest blows can win against the enemy we are fighting. Invoking the spirit of our forefathers, the Army asks your unflinching support to the end that the high ideals for which America stands may endure upon the earth.
And then World War II added its bloody chapter. Through it all, the heroic men and women of the American Armed Forces have been the defenders of a freedom that is the envy of the world.
With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
They were only kids, 18, 19, 20. There were thousands of them, and for months they knew it was all coming, but they never told a soul. It was without question the biggest and best-kept secret in human history. How is it possible to keep a secret like this? They weren't just brave. There was something more. They were inventors. There was nothing that would carry a tank, so they invented it. They knew they'd be destroying entire ports, so they constructed prefabricated ports. And because they couldn't carry gasoline with them, they invented a flexible, ever-advancing pipeline that carried all the gas. They called it Pluto. Before it was over, there were 3 million people, thousands of aircraft, 11,000 ships. The Germans never learned the true location of the landing sites. Think of it. The day before, those beautiful white sand beaches were peaceful and quiet. Sword, Juno, Gold, Omaha, and Utah. They've never been the same since.
On June 6, 1944, the beaches of Normandy were invaded by British and Canadian forces led by the Americans.
General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied.
The code name for D-Day was Operation Overlord. And even with all the preparation, the Germans never knew when or where it would happen. The best-kept secret in human history. Defenders of freedom all. The heroic volunteers of the American Revolution. General Washington at Trenton. The heroes of General Patton's Third Army, with blinding speed and determination into Luxembourg during the Battle of the Bulge. General MacArthur in the Pacific, and again at Incheon. And then, Vietnam.
Sir, you've had so many ideas. Where do they all come from?
Well, I do a very complicated kind of research. I just look at the patient. For some doctors, that's too hard to do.
Doctor, I was on Hill 881 in Vietnam. 34 of my men were shot in the chest. 32 of them got out of there alive because of your valve.
Soldiers on the battlefield had died of collapsed lungs because there were no large mechanical pumps. Until Henry, using $1 worth of plastic, came up with a simple flutter valve and saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Hundreds of ideas, procedures, and devices saving lives over 4 decades. Cancer patients, emphysema, and then...
What about the big idea, Doc? Where'd it come from?
It came to me very quickly. I read this problem caused over 6,000 deaths a year, and...
It was the sixth leading cause of accidental death a year. Could happen anywhere, anytime. It caused sudden, tragic, almost instantaneous death of perfectly healthy people. Henry's simple invention stopped it. It required no tools, no materials, little training, and never made him a penny. He's never tried it himself, but he knows it works. Once when Ronald Reagan was dying, his life was saved by the simple maneuver invented by Henry Heimlich. Memorial Day will continue. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it and then stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. He'd stand out in any crowd. I thought, how many men like him have fallen through the years? How many died on foreign soil? How many mothers' tears? How many pilots' planes shot down? How many died at sea? How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night. When everything was still, I listened to the bugler play, and I felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times the taps had meant amen. When a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend, I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. Memorial Day, a day to remember. In distant field of sunny France, where strangers come and go, amid the farms of Flanders, where the fragrant breezes blow, our soldier dead in quiet sleep, neath crosses row on row. Here, shrapnel shells once shrieked and burst and took their toll of death, the very wind itself a foe. The wind bore poison on its breath. Above their graves, the birds now sing, as they did around their homes, when carefree boys they romped and played those childhood days. Soon over the boys to brave and strong men grown, they romped and played no more. They put aside their childish toys, a man's work each must do, and then when their country called for them, to her they answered true. We must protect our native land, she shall not suffer wrong, for she has reared and nurtured us. We're men, and we are strong. We'll bid goodbye to those we love, it will not be for long. With aching hearts and tear-dimmed eyes, we watch them go away. Some have returned, but many sleep in foreign lands today. Where English roses bloom and fade in France, where lilies grow among the fields of Flanders, where the scarlet poppies blow, our soldier dead are not forgot, though strangers come and go. South Pacific, Solomon Islands. It is midnight, August 2nd. Suddenly, on the horizon, another boat. No question now. The other boat, larger, has turned, picks up speed, and heads this way. They're trying to intercept. Faster, closer. Confusion. Everyone yelling. Lights. Searching, sweeping the water. Blinding. Closer now. A midship collision. Eleven men cling to the wreckage. At first light, 10 swim for the island. One will remain here alone. After 5 days in the water and suffering from malaria, the heroic effort is rewarded by discovery and rescue.
The PT boat was cut in half by a Japanese destroyer. 2 men died. 11 lived, including 26-year-old John F. Kennedy. The course of American history, determined by a matter of inches.
Well, sir, I was attached to the 5th Marine Division, 28th Marine Regiment. We hit that beach at about H-hour plus 45. After we organized a patrol of about 40 men, me and another guy,
guy by the name of Zinnick. We were the medical corpsmen. And after the naval barrage and the plane strafing, we started up that mountain. When we got to the top, the lieutenant placed the machine guns where he wanted them, had our riflemen spotted, and then he sent patrols, one to the right and one to the left. I went with the group that swung left. And then right away, the lieutenant sent a man to look for a pole, a big staff. We found some old pipe the enemy used to run water in. We put the American flag on it, and we all raised it. Joe Rosenthal was there. Joe took our picture.
The volcanic mountaintop was 560 feet high, with a 60-foot-deep crater in the middle, hiding hundreds of the enemy in its caves. After raising the flag, the Marine Patrol went to work taking care of the enemy with a flamethrower, shooting a stream of flaming fuel 20 to 40 yards ahead of them into the caves. The enemy was destroyed. The picture taken on the island of Iwo Jima by Joe Rosenthal of Marines raising the flag at the very top of Mount Suribachi would become a visual symbol of the heroism of the United States Marines.
Give me a piece of mind.
Bombs.
Some of the heroes among our defenders of freedom were the visionaries.
This court will come to order. Colonel Mitchell, will you stand? Colonel, you're charged with defiance of your superiors and insubordination. How do you plead?
Oh, not guilty, sir.
Colonel, you were a brigadier general, were you not, before you were demoted?
Yes, sir.
You controlled the development of aviation in the U.S. Army, advisor to General Pershing. Why this blatant defiance of your superior officers?
Because they're short-sighted, sir. All I've said is that there needs to be an Air Force, independent of the Army, the Navy. The battleship is now obsolete, totally helpless against air attack.
Colonel, did you say this in the newspaper? The War and Navy Departments are guilty of incompetence, criminal negligence, and treasonable administration of the national defense?
Yes, sir, but it's true. This wonderful country is weak and unprepared. There will come a day when, if we continue to bury our heads in the sand, we ourselves will be attacked by air, by the Japanese. Planes launched from great ships will bomb the Hawaiian Islands, even as we literally and collectively sleep.
When the colonel was convicted and suspended for 5 years without pay, he resigned and continued his warnings. Billy Mitchell died on February 19, 1936. 6 years later, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands with planes launched from great ships.
On Memorial Day, we walked among the crosses where our fallen heroes, soldiers, lay and listened to the bugle as taps began to play. The chaplain led a prayer. We stood with heads bowed low, and I thought of fallen comrades I had known so long ago. They came from every city across this fertile land that we might live in freedom. They lie here beneath the sand. I felt a little guilty. My sacrifice was small. I only lost a little time, but these men lost their all. Now the services are over for this Memorial Day. To the names upon these crosses, I just want to say thanks for what you've given. No one could ask for more. May you rest with God in heaven from now through evermore. On this Memorial Day, the bugle echoes shrill and sweet. The road is rhythmic with their feet of men at arms who come to pray. The roses blossom white and red on tombs where weary soldiers lie. Flags wave above the honored dead and martial music cleaves the sky. Above their wreath-strewn graves we kneel. They kept the faith, they fought the fight. Through flying lead and crimson steel they plunged for freedom and the right. May we, their grateful children, learn their strength who lie beneath this sod, who went through fire and death to earn at least the accolade of God. In shining rank on rank arrayed, they march the legions of the Lord. He is their captain unafraid, the Prince of Peace who brought a sword. Peace will come when people live in friendship side by side and cherish understanding more than hatred, greed, and pride. Peace will come when people see all people as the same, and no one has to live in fear and ignorance or shame. During World War II, while Americans slept confident of peace, freedom, and independence, heroes of the armed forces were on guard, sometimes not far from home.
Well, look at this. If I didn't know better, I'd say we got company. German submarine company.
Battle station.
May 6, 1945. Even as the Nazi military machine is crumbling, the blood battle between American destroyers and packs of German U-boats continues.
I can hear him. I can see him. He's down there. Radio confirmation, please. No problem. Big boys on the way.
German Admiral Karl Dönitz and his new snorkel-equipped submarines are engaged in a desperate last-ditch effort to destroy Allied shipping. Following sonar detection, the Nazi U-boat is located. U.S. warships are dispatched and... Although the American and Allied naval forces eventually proved too much for the Nazi war machine, there were moments When the warships Mosby and Atherton were dispatched, they gave chase and quickly sank the German U-853 submarine with all its crew directly off the coast of Rhode Island. Heroes of the armed forces also heroes at home. Glider pilot Jackie Coogan, Captain Clark Gable, Army Air Force, Brigadier General James Jimmy Stewart, Commander 703rd Bomb Squadron. Memorial Day was originated to honor the dead in the Civil War. Hither we come to scatter flowers this Memorial Day upon our fallen heroes' graves. We cherish now no bitter thoughts in this fair land of ours, but on all fallen heroes' graves we come to scatter flowers. The rank and file in North and South believed their cause was just. We find upon each battle flag inscribed, "In God we trust." And in this sunny land of ours, now sleeping side by side, the Union blue and Southern gray lie buried where they died. Since we have come to scatter flowers this consecrated day, we cannot cherish bitter thoughts toward those who wore the gray, believing that their cause was right. Freely their blood they shed. Then let us strew alike the graves of all our sacred dead.
We take it for granted. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you have to say you never think really about, quote, freedom until the 4th of July or until you hear the Star Spangled Banner. And maybe even then, you don't think about freedom and what it means and, more poignantly, what it would mean without freedom. Freedom doesn't care. It doesn't demand that you recognize it every once in a while. When it wants you to recognize it, it jumps up and hits you right between the eyes. And you don't have any choice but to recognize it.
Oh, beautiful, Lord, for spacious sky, for amber waves of grain.
This is Tom Sutherland from Fort Collins, Colorado, USA. People who captured us had some rights on their side. We kept telling them they went about it the wrong way, entirely the wrong way, and that they would never impress the West by kidnapping Westerners, and particularly Americans.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. Self, yeah, country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, make God thy gold refine. Be nobleness and
too. We should sing it something like this. Listen here.
Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain. A purple mountain majesties over the fruited plain.
But now wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. He crowned thy good. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
January 14th, 1942, Camp Upton, New York. The 28-year-old is inducted into the Army. Before it's over, for his incalculable contribution to the general morale, he will be awarded the Legion of Merit. But 6 years earlier, this American had already fought another version of World War II. By 1938, Adolf Hitler had become the Führer to more than 70 million people, controlling them and their thoughts. Tonight, his demonic effect on the world reaches all the way to New York and Yankee Stadium. Under normal circumstances, tonight's fight would be only a major event. But these are not normal circumstances. 2 years ago, on June 18, 1936, Joe Lewis, son of black Alabama sharecroppers, was knocked cold by German heavyweight Max Schmeling. Since then, Hitler has used the event as an example of Aryan racial supremacy over not only blacks, but the entire world. After 2 years of build-up, the inevitable rematch against the German, Max Schmeling has become more than a heavyweight championship bout. It is World War II before it begins, fought between two men in a ring in Yankee Stadium. The burden is placed squarely on the shoulders of 24-year-old Joe Lewis. Within seconds, Lewis unleashes a furious barrage that paralyzes the German, who falls to the canvas three times in less than 2 minutes before his trainer throws in the towel and surrenders.
Right to the body. A left up to the jaw, and Schmeling is down.
Joe Lewis is buried in Arlington National Cemetery with other American heroes. A greeter shaking hands with the public in Las Vegas. He died penniless at 67.
Max Schmeling is beaten in one round.
Memorial Day will continue. No matter the identity of the oppressor, or even the battle, from the Revolution to the World Wars, Korea, Vietnam, or even Desert Storm, the noble purpose has always been the same. When a simple declaration of independence by our founding fathers was refused by the British and war was necessary to gain freedom, the original heroes of the American armed forces were there.
What is America to me? A name, a map, a flag I see, a certain word, democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, a plot of earth, a
street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions. That's America to me. The place I work in, the worker by my side, the little town or city where my people lived and died, the howdy and the handshake, the air of feeling free, and the right to speak my mind now. That's America to me. The things I see about me, the big things and the small, the little corner newsstand and the house a mile tall, the wedding and the churchyard, the laughter and the tears and the dream that's been a-growing for 180 years. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, the pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially the people. America to me.
In 1915, Moina Michael conceived of an idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who died serving the nation during war. She was the first to wear one and sold poppies to her friends and co-workers with the money going to benefit servicemen in need. Remember the poppies? To help re-educate and remind all of us Americans of the true meaning of Memorial Day, the National Moment of Remembrance resolution was passed in December of 2000. It asks that at 3 p.m. local time, all Americans voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing from whatever we do for a moment of silence or listening to taps. O you who sleep in Flanders fields, sleep sweet to rise anew. We caught the torch you threw, and holding high, we kept the faith with those who died. We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies, but lends a luster to the red of flower that blooms above the dead in Flanders fields, where poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, fell down, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
Eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is grand.
This is Lee Allen, observing Memorial Day.